Welcome to our teaching today, where Christ's Word is the center of our world. We are about to listen to the undiluted Word of God from the throne of grace with Pastor Philip Branson Bello.
If you have your Bibles, very quickly, John chapter 20, verse 8. John 20, verse 8. Then the other disciple, I think we should start from verse 6 so we have some level of clarity. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen. Now pay attention. He saw the linen, clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in the place by itself. During the resurrection of Jesus, there were a lot of controversies, speculation to question the fact that Jesus actually rose. A lot of people just attributed that whole message to grave robbers, that people stole the body of Christ. So whatever the disciples are saying, Jesus rose. But there is something Peter and John saw in the tomb that made them believe. Now, look at verse 8 again. It says, then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. So there's something, the other disciple there is John. Like I said in the first service, John doesn't mention his name in the book of John. The John you see in the book of John, if you see any John in the book of John, that's John the Baptist. That's not the John who wrote the book of John. John in the book of John calls himself the one whom Jesus loved. That's how he addressed himself. So he never mentions his name, but he mentions other people's names. So he says, the other disciple, that's himself, who came to the tomb first, went in also. Peter went in first, then John followed. And he saw and believed. Somebody say he saw and believed. So there is something he saw. And from my study of history and how the Jews buried their dead, you would see that linen cloth will be wrapped around a dead body, and ointments, oils, myrrh, and all kinds of scents are also put on the body to preserve the body if you're well-to-do. So what they did was, before the Sabbath day, some women had to get scents, oil, and myrrh, especially myrrh, and put on the body of Jesus. Now, myrrh has a particular characteristic of gumming the linen to the body to form a cocoon, so it looks like a POP cast when you wrap a dead body. You know, if you're forming a POP on the wall or the ceiling, the initial stage is a semi-solid state, and after a while, it becomes like a cast. Now, why the scripture puts the detail that there was the linen there? You know, the Bible doesn't just write things for writing's sake. It's intentional about everything it says. That they saw the linen. Why did they talk about the linen? Because when they got there, they saw that the linen was intact. Nobody had tampered with the linen. Because if anybody stole the body of Jesus, the linen will have to be, you will know that somebody has touched this thing. But the way it was so arranged, it was the original way it was wrapped over a body. In fact, most likely it looked like a cast. So the Bible says that John and Peter saw it and believed. This one is not go come. Now, there are about three people that Jesus raised from the dead while he was here on the earth. He raised the widow's son, he raised the young ruler's son, and he raised Lazarus. John chapter 11 is Lazarus, come forth. But you see, there's a difference between Lazarus come forth and Jesus who came back to life. The difference between Lazarus is that when Lazarus came back to life, he came back to a mortal life. It was a life that would still die. So anybody who came back to life is not the same as the rising from the dead. So Jesus' own is spectacular. You know, God likes to do his own things in the grand style. Aye. So when Jesus came back to life, the stone was rolled away. One major difference, they had to roll away the stone for Lazarus, for him to come out. But in the case of Jesus, the stone was already rolled away, not for Jesus to come out, but for people to go in to see that he had come out. Number two, when Lazarus came out from, or when he came back to life, the Bible says that he came out bound hand and foot. And Jesus said with a loud voice, "Loose him and let him go." So that means the cloth was still all around him, but someone had to loose the cloth. But in the case of Jesus, the cloth was intact. So it's as if the body of Jesus had evaporated from the intact cloth that was on Jesus. Something strange here. So the proof that Jesus rose on the third day was evident, because people, if people were hiding the body, they would have found the body. They would have faced it. The soldiers who were there on guard would have found the body. But we thank God that Jesus rose, because it is key to our faith that he rose. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? The birth of Jesus, his death, a little bit, Josh, his resurrection, all of it is supernatural. Birth, supernatural. How do you explain the birth of a virgin child? I mean, a virgin woman. How? His death is supernatural. His resurrection, supernatural. And if you look at God, the Bible says God being a triune personality, he is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of these personalities of God are involved in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus. I'll show you scripture. Now, let's look at God the Father in the birth of Jesus. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son." God sent forth. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, under the law. So God is involved in the birth of Christ. Let's look at the Son himself in his own birth. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, "Then said I, lo, I come." In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. So you can see how God sent Jesus, then how Jesus comes by himself. So Jesus is involved in his own birth. Then you look at the Spirit. Luke chapter 1 and verse 34 to 35 says, "Then Mary said to the angel, how shall this thing be, seeing that I know not a man? And then the angel said, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit involved in the birth of Jesus. Now let's look at the death of Jesus. How did Jesus die? Everybody was involved in his death as well. The Father, the Son himself, and the Spirit involved in his death. The Father, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, says, "Yet it pleased the Lord." The word Lord there is in capital letters. All the letters, L-O-R-D, all of them Lord. It speaks of God himself. It says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief." You know, a lot of people are angry about Good Friday. Some people are saying, "Why did they kill my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Oh, it's not fair what the soldiers did." The Bible here is telling you that God was happy. Tell your neighbor, "God was happy." That's a very weak response. Say, "God was happy." Tell another neighbor, say, "Be happy because he died." Thank God he died. Amen. So it says, "Yet it pleased the Lord." That means when Jesus was suffering on the cross, God was saying, "Good, very good, very good, very good. I'm happy." And two people, in fact, Satan and God, were happy at the same time. For the first time, they agree. Yeah, because Satan is happy that he's killing the Son of God. God is also happy that his Son is dying. So for the first time, you see God and Satan agreeing on one matter. But one was agreeing foolishly. For if they had known, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because if the crucifying of the Lord of glory will bring about the restoration and deliverance of mankind, Satan will fight the death of Christ. In fact, what Satan's agenda will be is to keep Jesus alive. So when Jesus says, I'm about to die, Satan's ploy will be, no, you can't die. You must live to declare the glory of God. Oh my God. So let's see the Son, the work of the Son in the death. John chapter 10 and verse 18. No man take it away from me, my life, but I lay down myself. Because his death is supernatural. Jesus has both a physical life and a spiritual life. And I submit to you that he must die spiritually before he dies physically. The reason why everybody is dying, because this world is on a tangent of death, whether we all like it or not, because we are saved in threefold. We are saved, we're being saved, and we have been saved. So we're in a mortal body that must experience death except Christ comes. So everything is dying. Everything is in decay. Even the person who is destroying is also on a tangent of being destroyed. Satan himself is also dying by the day until he meets his very end. Are you following what I'm saying? So, Jesus says, no man can take my life, but I lay down my life. He's involved in his own death. Then let's look at the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 9 verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So you can see now that the Holy Spirit is involved in the death of Christ. Then let's look at the resurrection. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Resurrection. The Father. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, verse 1. Paul, an apostle not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So question to all of you, who raised him from the dead? Say it louder, it's not a trick question. God the Father. Say with me, say God the Father. So who raised Jesus from the dead? God the Father. Acts chapter 3 verse 13. Acts chapter 3 verse 13. It says, he's the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to what? Let go. Next verse. But ye denied the Holy One and that the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Verse 15. And kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. One more scripture for the Father. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So Christ was raised by the glory of the Father. Then let's look at the Son in his own resurrection. John chapter 2 and verse 19. John chapter 2 and verse 19. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I, is it God now or I? Who is the I there? Jesus. Says, I will raise it up by myself. Next verse, verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? Then next verse. But he spake of the temple of his body. So when he said, I will raise it up, he's involved in his resurrection. You can see the Trinity is always working together. And then the Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. We all know this one. Romans 8 and verse 11. Romans 8 and verse 11, it says, but if, can we read this one together? All right, one to go. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Can we make a confession? Say, the Holy Spirit dwells in me. the Holy Spirit quickens my body. And that's one way to talk to yourself when you feel weak. Never agree with your weaknesses. Never side your weaknesses. Always say, the Holy Spirit quickens my body. Are you with me, somebody? Always say, the Holy Spirit energizes me. The Bible says that you are strengthened with might in your inner man by the Holy Spirit. So you must learn to talk to yourself. Even when your mind is tired, you tell your mind, the Holy Spirit energizes my mind. All right? There are no diminishing returns with me. A lot of people start with ginger from January. January, February, March, and there's a lot of ginger. April, people are slowing down. May, we forgot the drive that we came with in January. So for you, there's no diminishing return. Are you getting what I'm saying? My mind is active because you have what it takes to replenish the earth. It says, be fruitful, multiply, replenish. You know what it means to replenish? To replenish means you are giving and you're not tired of giving. Because some people, when they give once, they can't give again. In fact, once you have produced something in February, you have to wait till next cycle at this time of life, next year, February. But you see, when you are constantly producing month by month, it means you have capacity. So it says you replenish the earth. You produce in January, you produce in February, you produce in March, in April, in May, in June, in July, till December. And you are not tired of producing. It's the grace of God. The first man was a living being. The second Adam was a life-giving spirit. So you are a life-giving spirit. Come on, say that with me. Say, I'm a life-giving spirit. I don't get tired of giving birth. I don't get tired of producing. I don't get tired of letting what is inside of me come out. Right? Because this greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. When you look at oppositions, you're not tired to face the next. Because every level has its own devil. And you beat the devil on that level. And you jump to the next level. And you face that devil again. And you come out triumphant. And you're not tired. Somebody say yes. And you know what that means? That means resurrection power is working on the inside of you. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in me, it will quicken my mortal body. So on Friday night, 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Jesus died. 3 p.m. And they were shut down everywhere. There was, first of all, earthquake. There was NEPA took light. This one was the NEPA of the universe. Because geography students, eclipse of, which of the eclipse now? The sun. So there was total blackout. 3 p.m. broad daylight. It was proof that this man is the Son of God. If anybody who didn't believe just doesn't want to believe. Because if you were there physically, you would know that this was the Son of God. Soldiers looked at him and says, truly this man is the Son of God. Pilate wrote on that thing that they put on the cross, it says, King of the Jews. And the Jews were angry. Say, why would you write King of the Jews? What you should write is, so that they mock Jesus, they say, what you should write is, he said he's King of the Jews. So that when people pass and they see Jesus on the cross with the plaque that says, he said he's King of the Jews, they laugh at him. But what Pilate wrote was King of the Jews, as if to say he's enthroned as King of the Jews. And they say, change it. So you know what he said? Pilate said, what I have written, I've written. So nobody can change it. Because truly, this man is king. He says, I am. He says, if I want, Jesus said, if I want, I can call a legion of soldiers, angels, to come and upset this whole structure you guys are doing. But he says, I won't. And I thank God he did not. Because if Jesus altered the death plan, me and you will not be saved though. So thank God he was a sheep led to the slaughter and he opened not his mouth. Thank God he didn't open his mouth. Because if he said, Father, I'm not doing again, the whole plan don't spoil. But we thank God that he shut up. Sometimes you need to shut up when you need to shut up. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. Jesus knew when to be quiet. And this time was a good time to be quiet. I was telling them in the first service that when the angel of death was passing in Egypt, God commanded that the bread that must be made is unleavened bread. Unleavened bread means that the bread doesn't have yeast. And for all of you ladies who bake, you know that yeast helps the bread what? Talk to me. it's your, you know it better than me now, amen? So feel confident saying it. Yeast helps the bread what? So with the raisin, amen? They raise the bread. So that means the yeast helps the bread. So when God said, make sure the bread is unleavened, it means I don't want the bread to be helped. That speaks of the lamb in the future, that when the lamb, the real lamb comes, I don't want this lamb to be helped. So he's going to the cross without help. So he's the lamb. He's carrying his blood. He's the one that lays down his life. And he's the one that receives his blood. What a high priest we have in Jesus. And everything that he died, the Bible says he is up and alive to ensure that what he died for works in your life. Because if someone has a dead uncle that willed everything to the person, and or let's say a dead father that has willed everything to the son, and there are some bad, evil uncles that want to take the property away, who have better paid lawyers, or just want to mess things around or shake things around. Because the father is dead, he can't speak. But in the case of Christ, it's different. Christ died. He wrote a will about you and I. And you know what they call testament is that the testament must be in effect when the testator is dead. That's why Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are not necessarily the New Testament. They are like intertestamental gates. They usher you into the New Testament, but they bring you from the Old Testament. So when you're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's actually still the Old Testament. But it's on the New Testament page of the Bible. So the real New Testament begins when Jesus dies. Because blood must be spilled for it to be called a testament, means will. And you can't read a man's will when the man is alive. So when Jesus died on the cross, that was when the will was read. And what was in the will? What is the lamb that was slain? Come on. To receive what? Power, wisdom, riches, glory, strength. So all of these things Christ died for. The will is being activated in your favor. So what does that mean? He's not just dead with a will for you. He rose up to see that will he wrote, nothing must be bypassed. That everybody must benefit from what Jesus died for. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it was a bad Friday, terrible Friday. 3 p.m., he died, and it looked like the hope of the world was gone. Saturday was a silent Saturday. There was activity on Friday, activity on Sunday, but on Saturday, no activity. It was a silent Saturday. Silent. And it looks like the appearance of what is happening on the outside is not really corresponding with what's going on the inside. And some people's lives are like that. And you know, on that Saturday, that was when Jesus was in the grave. Peter explains it, and he says that he went about preaching to the spirits in prison. Now, the prison is talking about there are the people who are dead, who had faith in God or had faith in the coming promise. Have I lost you? Had faith in the coming promise, believed in a Christ that they had not seen, had died before Jesus came. So when Jesus went there, he went to tell them, I am the person you had faith in. Oh God. I'm the person you wrote about. So he meets someone like Isaiah, and he says to Isaiah, when you wrote, he was wounded for my transgression, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. I am the one you wrote about, Isaiah. Isaiah looks at him and says, I believe. Join the queue. He goes to Noah. He says, the ark you built, I'm the one you built the ark on behalf of. So that ark, I am the ark. Because anyone who was in the ark was saved from the flood. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. He moves to David. He says to David, and he says, the one you wrote about, thou will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. That person you wrote about, it is me. He moves to Daniel, and he looks at Daniel. He says, you prophesied about me. I am the coming Christ. Now I am the person. So everybody who wrote something about Jesus saw Jesus in the physical. And the Bible says on the third day, he led captivity captive. He took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. The grave could not stop Jesus. Which means that if the grave can't stop Jesus, the grave can't stop you, because you and I were in him. Everybody's hell tested. I did a message one day. I said, you are hell tested. Do you know this microwave plate? You know a microwave plate? And you see some temperature things on plates that can pass the heat that comes from microwave. There are some plates that if you put in the microwave, it will destroy the plate. So that plate that has the temperature is temperature or microwave tested. So it has the inscription there. And that's the way everyone who has put faith in Christ is. Because we died with him. Listen, no, you were buried with him and you rose with him. So on that day, it looked as if it was only Jesus. But 2,000 years in the future, he saw that a small young boy, Pastor Phil, will also believe. He said, Pastor Phil, join. You are with him. He saw that you are going to be a part. So he says, you are with him. All of us were in Christ. It's incredible how God foreknows those who will be saved and includes them in the death of Christ. You don't understand what I'm saying? It's incredible. And someone was saying, Pastor Phil, someone was telling me one time, so does that mean God knows those who will not be saved? I say yes, because he's God. And you can't blame God for knowing what he knows, because he's God. God is not the author of confusion. He's omnipresent. He's omniscience. But he knows those who will be saved. So he includes those who will put faith in Christ to be conformed to the image of Christ. So all of us were in Christ. And on that third day, he rose again. Hi. Jesus looked so weak. Trust me. Josh, help me a little bit. Jesus looked so weak on Saturday. In fact, anybody who passed Jesus on the cross will say Jesus had failed. Anybody who saw Jesus will say he had not done well. He looked weak. But you see, when the power of resurrection is working, sometimes what is happening on the inside contradicts what is happening on the outside. And that's the word I have for someone here. Somebody's life is about to take a sharp contrast from what looks like failure on the outside to be the working of God on the inside. From what looks like depression on the outside to be supernatural joy on the outside. Now, Satan did not know that if he poked that body of Jesus, life will come out. If he knew, he would have kept the body of Jesus intact. And I'm telling you the same thing, that if the devil knows, he will not have touched you. Because there is a commendation from God that double for trouble has to come. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying. Double for trouble. So if you, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers all of them. So sometimes when affliction comes, he says rejoice, because the spirit of glory rests upon you. Weakness, but the power of God is being revealed. I was telling them in the first service how you see Paul, he was beaten, that is wounded, and he went to the Corinthian church and began to teach on the gift of the Spirit, somebody who was sick. So that means your condition should not mean you can't minister. If you are going through something, if you are sick in your body, doesn't mean you can't lay hand on somebody else who is sick. In fact, many times, the best way for a sick person to be healed is to look for another sick person and lay hands on the person, because there is no channel that carries water that must not be touched with water. Jacob was blind. He was blind. And he crossed his hand. He was about to bless his two sons. And Joseph said, no, Papa, it's not like that. Ephraim, Manasseh, put your hand here. Jacob said, I know what I'm doing. So look at it, in blindness, somebody's still blessing. And somebody is saying, because I had a surgery, I can't minister healing. Because I felt sick. Don't be ashamed of your experiences. conform your experiences to the word of God. Because I had a medical crisis doesn't mean the power of healing can't flow through me. Can I tell you something? Medicine and Jesus, they're not a quarrel. Medicine and God are not fighting. So don't think because you take medicine, you are out of faith. You are not out of faith. If your spirit leads you not to take it, it's fine. But don't put yourself under pressure to say that I cannot take it because it's a proof that I don't really believe. No, you believe. Okay? Because the same Paul told Timothy, so boy, your stomach, every week now you've been complaining, your stomach. Use a little something. Use a little wine. Like I told them in the first service, please listen to the pastor. Pastor did not say go and drink. Because some of you now, in your mind, have given you endorsement. Pastor, don't give us confirmation. I say, Moku they booze. They go, calm down. Paul said to him, say, use, not drink. Can I get an amen here? I don't like that silence. Don't let it pass like that. Paul said, use a little wine. Let me say it louder. Use a little wine, not drink. So don't drink to stupor and to foolishness. Wine is a mocker. So drink responsibly. Raise on. Now the problem is that this part can be cut, and before you know it, I will trend again. That's the problem. But God knows that I'm speaking from a pure heart. Amen. Now, so Paul told Timothy, use a little wine. This is your stomach pain you are complaining every week. Use a little wine. But he still told Timothy, he says, neglect not the gift of God in you. Somebody who has stomach pain, he said, you still have the gift of God. Let me tell you something. Your experiences, your pain does not deprive the power of God to flow in your life. Because what you are ministering to people is not your health, but the power of God. You're not ministering your health to people. You are ministering God to people, not your health. So, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power might be of him and not of us. It means that when you look at the vessel and you look at the treasure, they're not resemble. Treasure, vessel, don't look alike. But when you talk about big things coming out from weak treasures, oof. Big things coming up from small treasures. Big things coming up from despised treasures. Big things coming out from earthen vessels that have been laughed at. Can I prophesy to someone here? If you are here and they have mocked you, they have laughed at you, and they have said, is there anything good that will come out of you? I'm telling you, in 2024, you will shock your world. Hey, when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, we were like them that what? That dreamed. So, don't be confused when you go through experiences, you have weaknesses, you have moments. Because some of you lose your ministry because of a moment in your life. Some of you lose your ministries because of a single moment of pain, a single moment of encounter, a single moment of disadvantage. Jesus went to the cross because his path to glory will not come through glory, but it will come through a cross. So he went to a cross. So don't be ashamed of a cross. Don't be ashamed of a downtime. Don't be ashamed of a failure. It says, when you suffer, the spirit of glory rests upon you. Ooh, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials and temptations. For the trial of your faith works out patience. Then he says, let patience have its perfect work in you. That what you are going through is not the end of your life. What you are experiencing is not the end. Then guess what? After silent Saturday, there was a noisy Sunday that brought about the resurrection of our Lord, of which our faith is predicated on. Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, it means that the sin plan did not work. It means that the redemption plan did not work. Because the purpose of Jesus dying was to atone for sin. So if he died And God did not raise him. Because what you must understand, I told you that the three of them are involved in the resurrection. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But you must understand that the order is God the Father. So God, Jesus allows the Father do the raising, and it is also supported by the Trinity, the Spirit and the Son. So even though Jesus can be raised by himself, he allows the Father do the raising. So he said, I have authority, but I trust my Father to raise me up. So it is someone who has control, but has power at the same time. Good example of power and control. And then on the third day, to show that the atonement of sin was dealt with, he couldn't stay in that grave. The fulfillment of the scripture that says, thou will not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption, because it is illegal for me who have done the requirements of justice to remain in the grave. Because a sinful man cannot undergo decay. That his body must not be decayed. Even scripture said that none of his bones were broken. Yes, he was pierced on the side. He bled at 7 points from Golgotha to, from Gethsemane to Golgotha. He bled on his way via Dolorosa. He bled. 7 places he bled. And the Bible says none of his bones were broken. But that the scripture might be fulfilled, which he says, he was crucified outside Golgotha. And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But it pleased God that on that third day, he says, today you are my son. Hold up. He said, thou art my beloved son in the water. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yes. He said, you are my beloved son when John the Baptist was baptizing him. Second time he said it was when he was on the mountain of transfiguration, and then he said, thou art my beloved son. So if you read the book of John, it says there are three that bear witness on earth. The first one is the spirit. The second is the water. And the third is the blood. And for a long time, I didn't know what that meant. But I later found out that the spirit bears witness with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God, because the Spirit is in our, he's married to our spirit, and our spirit bears witness with his spirit that he's the Son of God. So that's the first witness. Second witness is the water. What is the second witness? Water. And what is that witness? The water witness is the witness when Jesus was baptized and a voice came from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. So he's saying that that water experience is the witness. Then the third witness is the blood. And what is the blood? It says just before his death, there was a witness. And before his death, there were two guys who stood before Jesus. Moses and Elijah. And it's interesting how none of these two guys died. Or they died, one died, but they couldn't find the bodies. I think that's what I'm about. That's what I really want to say. You couldn't find the body of Elijah. You couldn't find the body of Moses. But Jesus is in the middle. Moses is the law. Elijah is the prophet. He says, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So don't listen to Moses. Because Moses himself prophesied that there will be a prophet who will come from amongst you. Hear ye him, not me. Then Elijah says, don't focus on the law. Ha! He says, grace and truth came by Jesus. So leave the law alone, but stay with Jesus. And the witness of the blood is the witness before his death. So these three bear witness, and they are one, that he's the Son of God. So on that day when he rose, on the third day, that's where our victory is. Because our faith, your Christianity, your preaching is all waste of time if he didn't rise. So Easter is the most important aspect of celebration when it comes to the Christ that we honor. Because the birth of Christ is pointing to Easter. The life of Christ is pointing to Easter. Everything about Christ, Easter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14. If he was not resurrected, our faith is in vain. Put that scripture up for me. Our preaching is empty and our faith is empty. Next verse. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. Some people were saying it's impossible for the dead to rise. So Paul is saying, if you are saying the dead doesn't rise, then you are indirectly contradicting the resurrection of Christ. So don't say that. Then look at verse 17. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. I can tell you for free that a lot of Christians don't know why we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. A lot. But thank God we're a well-taught church. The reason why we celebrate Easter, some people don't like to call it Easter because Easter is the name of a god, right? So some people prefer to say Resurrection Sunday. But I mean, all those don't matter to me. We know what we're saying. Amen. So he says, why we celebrate this thing, Easter or Resurrection Sunday, is that we are no longer in our sins because he rose. If Jesus did not rise, all of us would be in our sins. So can I ask you a question? Why do you celebrate the fact that he rose? Because I'm no longer in my sins. Can we say that together? Say, I'm no longer in my sins. Please tell two people around you, tell two people confidently, say, we're no longer in our sins. All my sins are forgiven. How many people know that they are forgiven here? You know that all your sins are forgiven. You know you are blood washed. You know you are bought with a precious price. You know the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You know you are forgiven. Are you forgiven? I'm asking you a question. Are you forgiven? If you're forgiven, shout while you're sitting down. You are the forgiven of God. You are the liberated of God. You are the delivered of God. You are passed from death to life. Because our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Second to the last scripture and then I close. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14. Oh, hallelujah. Bore gebaya. O kali boko shate. Zida brande geduka. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is whom the devil, verse 15, and release those who through what? I can't hear you. One more time. Were all their lifetime subject to the bondage of death. See, if you are afraid of death, it means you don't understand the gospel. Can I sit down there for a bit? Yes, let me stay there. If you are afraid of death, you don't understand the gospel. Because when you are born again, you have switched timelines. So you are no longer on the tangent of death anymore. You switch timelines. So you and those in heaven are on the same timeline. Those who are not born again are on a different timeline. So it doesn't matter whether someone is physically alive here or dead physically. They are still on the same timeline. And it is a timeline of eternal life. Are you with me? So the first problem they are dealing with here is the fear of death. Not even death itself. Just the fear of it. I've heard a lot of people say they have phobias. I was going to ask your neighbor, what phobia do you have? You know, I have a fear of flying. Amen. Are they here? They're not here. Good. You're lucky I didn't. Yeah. I have a fear for water. I have a fear for height. Why are you afraid of height? I mean, I'm afraid of the unknown. So when you can't specifically pick what to be afraid of, you now choose unknown. I'm afraid of water. I'm afraid of height. If you're afraid of height, look down now. Or you look up. No, you look up. Why should you even be afraid of height when the Bible says that he will give you wings like an eagle? They that mount up with wings like an eagle. But let me tell you, do you know why every phobia takes its primary phobia from the phobia of death? Think about it though. So phobias are connected to the primary phobia of death. The fear of height you are afraid of is because you are afraid of dying. Because you know if you fall. These are the issues, right? If you fall, that's the end. So think about it. If you knew that if you fell, you just turn to balloon and then you come down gently, would you be afraid of height?
No.
If you are afraid of water, it's because you know there's a mass grave in the sea. So you are afraid of water because of the fear of death. So every fear has its primary fear to death. When the Bible says that he will give you the wealth of the seas. There are some people, Satan knows how to paint it to sound so nice so that you make it your own. I have a phobia for you. You have it. I didn't know you have it. Oh. You better don't be confessing what is not your own. Say, Pastor, I have a phobia for... They'll package it with nice English. Please, what's the name? What's the fear for... There's claustrophobic, aquaphobic. Is it aquaphobic? Aquafina? What's the fear? What of fire? Is there fear of fire? Aquafire? What's the fear for... Some people are even afraid of failure. Fear of failure. We are delivered from all fears. Lift your hands up and say, I'm free from every fear. I don't have any phobia. Give your neighbor a high five and say, you don't have any phobia. Now you tell yourself, I don't have phobias. So what it deals with is, first of all, the fear of death. So don't be afraid. Because if you understand this conversation of death, death doesn't make believers afraid. Because Paul put it this way to me. I mean, look at Paul. Paul is playing around whether he should die or whether he should be alive. I don't know. Should I die? Die, live. If I live, it will benefit you, but I really want to go. But you know what? For your sake, I'll just stay small. In fact, a prophet came to Paul and told Paul that if you go to Jerusalem, he picked a man, Agabus. He picked a man. He says, thus says the Lord, so shall the owner of this belt. This is how your life is going to be. He took Paul's belt. He bound the man. He says, you'll be bound and you'll be delivered and you'll be killed. Paul said, thank you for the prophecy. I'm still going. He wanted to die. Sons of thunder, James and John. They came to Jesus. They said, Jesus, Shema, this is an interesting story. We want to know who will sit by your right or by your left. They even brought their mother to settle the quarrel. So that means they came more than once. And Jesus said, are you willing to drink the cup? He says, yes, I'm willing. So what's the cup? Suffering. So, so it takes suffering to sit by your side. That thing stayed in their mind. You know, when Jesus died, they picked James, one of the sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee. They picked James and they took him to prison, killed him. He was happy to go. Because in his mind, the seat don't show. Their mentality towards death was not a mentality of fear. Then they now picked Peter, because Peter was also in the argument. They picked Peter and they took him to prison. Seeing that they killed James, they said, okay, let's also kill Peter since it pleased the people. And the angel of the Lord came and saw Peter sleeping the night before his execution. Now, let me ask you a question. Who sleeps a night before his execution? That means these guys wanted to go. When Peter wanted to die, they said, don't crucify me like Jesus. Crucify me upside down because it's an honor to die like Jesus, but I won't take the way he died. Let me be crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified in the form of an X. They're all martyrs. But their concept about death was absent with the body, present with the Lord. It was not a disadvantage. So you are not bound. Everything. Hey! I go die, yo. Hey, I don't die. Keep quiet. You're not afraid of death. So Satan has the nature of death. Number one. But number two, he had the keys of death. But when Jesus rose on the third day, he took the keys of death from Satan, but did not take the nature of death from Satan. So Satan still has a nature of death, but has lost the authority of death. So for the believer, you can now choose where you want to go. Yes, yes. So death will not take you by surprise. No, 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 no. You plan your time well. In your 98, 900, if you want to stay 120, now you sabio. If you want to stay for long, but you plan your time and you say to yourself, call my children, I want to bless them. Speak to them. Put things in place. Because we're above the fear of death. He destroyed him that had. Let's close this thing. On the third day, he rose again. I've got resurrection power inside of me. Look at your neighbor, say, you have resurrection power inside of you.
This concludes this message. Thank you for listening. And for more information about the Standpoint Church, visit our social media platform on www.facebook.com/standpointabj, twitter.com/standpointabj, instagram.com/standpointabj, and on soundcloud.com/standpointabj.